It's my honour to welcome Her Excellency Dr. Natasha Pirc-Musar, the President of the Republic of Slovenia. She has demonstrated a deep and consistent commitment to promoting women's leadership in international fora, ensuring that women's perspectives are not only present, but influential in shaping global agendas and outcomes. Madam President, welcome.
First of all, thank you for the invitation, and I have to say that I am really, really honored to be here, to be among many excellent ladies and some men among us, I see. So, distinguished President and Executive Director of the GWL Voices, dear Susana and Maria Fernanda, dear fellow women political leaders. What an honor and pleasure is to stand here today and exchange ideas with all of you, fellow women leaders, on building a far more gender equal system of international governance. It is also a privilege to be part of your inspiring Madam Secretary General campaign during the 80th anniversary of the founding of the United Nations. As Nelson Mandela famously said, it always seems impossible until it is done. We are here to do just that, together, and to offer hope and inspiration to women and girls around the world that, yes, it is possible. On 17th of December, a group of young women, primarily from Slovenia, but supported by partners across Europe, achieved what many had considered impossible. They succeeded in securing the adoption by the European Parliament of a resolution in support of safe access to abortion across the European Union. As a result, even in countries where abortion is either not legal or not possible due to objections by doctors, women with unwanted pregnancies will soon be able to obtain abortion services in other EU member states where such services are available. The European Commission is now expected to propose measures to translate this commitment into practice by March this year. Now, regarding our aspiration that the next Secretary General be a woman, I would like to say the following. We have all heard this so-called argument many times over. Yes, for women, but the best candidate must win, right? Said with all seriousness and concern. To this, in reality, quite offensive argument, I say, but of course, that is precisely the point. We all want the best candidate to win, but the competition must finally be opened to the other half of humanity. The social overlooking of women must come to an end, and it is precisely for this reason we are raising our voices today, together, to help end this unreasonable practice. The facts are well known. Since the UN's creation, the General Assembly has had 75 male presidents and only 5 female presidents. Unlike the UN Secretary General, who serves a 5-year term with the possibility of reappointment, the President of the General Assembly is elected annually to 1-year term of office. Together with UN Secretary General, the President of the General Assembly is one of the most globally visible faces of the United Nations. For this reason, Slovenia, together with like-minded countries, has been advocating for the introduction of a gender parity system for the presidency of the General Assembly. I first raised this proposal at the general debate 2 years ago. Some progress has been made, but it is far from sufficient. And as we approach the election of the next Secretary General of the United Nations, I once again call on all of us to open our minds to the possibility that a woman may simply be the best candidate for the role. And I do believe in that. I realize times are not opportune. Even our shared sustainable development goals are increasingly being called into question. But the truth is this: there is never a convenient time for change. We are living in a time of multiple crises. So let us give a real opportunity to the other half of humanity, as I have already said. As she may surprise us all with resilience, innovative problem solving, and deeply human empathy. And this, our world, our United Nations, needs now more than ever. And if I can say something in Spanish, el respeto no tiene género, es un derecho de todos. I don't know whether all of you speak Spanish here. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I have prepared, and I wrote down the statement. And of course, I would like also say some words from the bottom of my heart. This is who I am. I don't know how much you follow international politics. It's a crazy world nowadays. Every single president and prime minister, we are just scared of every single morning how one person in the United States is going to wake up and in what kind of mood that person is going to be. And it's scary to watch where this world is heading at. I just recently had the interview for the Finnish television. And the Finnish journalist asked me, because you know that there are only three female presidents in the European Union? It's Malta, Ireland, and you see one here. And I have to mention now Bulgaria, because Rumen Radev stepped down and the vice president took the office, so the fourth lady is there. And the Finnish president said to me, the Finnish journalist said to me, as a woman, what's your advice to President Trump? And I didn't know this question in advance, you know, and I took a deep breath of what I can say and what I cannot say. And I always try to be honest with journalists, I try to be honest with my people, and I try to be honest with the international community. And I do represent a lot of people around this planet, not only as the president of Slovenia. I'm proud to say that I represent also women around the globe. And in between, I was thinking, oh, what am I going to say? What's my advice to President Trump? And then I remembered one sentence which one experienced diplomat from Slovenia told me. You know, because at the beginning, coming from the world of activism, the hardest part for me was how to learn the diplomatic language and not be an activist on the presidential position. I'm still, you know, learning. And I don't want to be boring in politics. I want to be honest. And then I said this sentence. That's my advice to President Trump. The wisdom is chasing you, but you're always faster. So please slow down a bit. And this is who I am in this crazy world of men's politics. It's really hard for women, you know, to not to be judged by gender, but we are judged by gender. I can see that. When I was a candidate for the President of the Republic of Slovenia, you have to know some of my background. I was never a member of any political party, nor I am today. And the promise that I gave to myself is that I never will be a member of any political party. So it was a total non-partisan campaign. And you know, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's easy, because I do not owe anybody nothing in politics, but it's sometimes hard to make compromises with the people from the government, especially with the prime minister. But that's part of the game, I take it that way. But when I was in campaign, I was listening to so many bad and hostile words about my appearance. I lost 27 kilos 3 years ago. I was chubby, but I'm still Natasha, you know, in my soul. Natasha, which I was before when I had 27 kilos more. And one of the journalists in that era when I was, you know, chubby, called me a Teletubby. I said, okay. But then I met him once, and I said, I will never forget what you said to me, but I will tell you one sentence. When you called me a Teletubby, maybe that was a push for me, you know, to lose weight. And I lost 27 kilos, but your IQ will always be the same. And to come in this crazy world of politics, ladies and gentlemen, it's not hard for a person who was never a politician before, but I was a human rights lawyer. And for example, I'm very proud on my country, especially due to a fact that the 2 years that we were a non-permanent member of the Security Council in United Nations, we really sticked to the vision and to the values that Slovenia does have inside its soul. And when I was given the opportunity to have a speech in the European Parliament in front of 650 European parliamentarians, again, you know, as a president, every single word counts. So you have to have a written statement, a speech, and I always prepare word by word what I wanted to say. But in the middle of that speech in Brussels, when I started discussing Palestine and Gaza, I stopped and I said, here I have 650 representatives of different states and different political parties. I want to be honest with them. And then I said, we are watching genocide in Gaza, and we are not doing anything. And that was not written down in my speech. And then standing ovation from the left side, two MPs from the right side left the hall of the parliament. And after that, some people approached me and they said, but Madam President, why are you on the side of Palestine? I said, do you really think that I'm on a side of Palestine? I'm not on a side of Palestine, nor on a side of Israel. I just want to be on the side of humanity. And this is what I do believe in. I do believe in international law. I am a lawyer by profession. It helps me being a president. And I do believe that humanitarian law is the integral part of the international law. Is this left or right? Is humanity and dignity of a person connected to left-wing spectrum or to the right-wing spectrum? What are we doing, ladies and gentlemen, with our planet? And being a woman and saying all those things directly to you, I feel relieved every time I say it. I don't know where I get the courage from, but this is who I am. And I wish there were more women and men like that around the globe. I'm still learning. I know I do not know everything. Every single day I learn, I read, I try to understand realpolitik, if you want me to say so. But just to conclude, ladies and gentlemen, when I told you there are now only 4 female presidents in European Union, there are some in Europe, like in Moldova, in Kosovo, in Iceland, for example. But altogether, out of 193 UN member states, there are only 18 women presidents. Some prime ministers, let's be honest, but there are just simply not enough of us. In some points, ladies and gentlemen, that's our fault as well, because we need to be sure that we do possess the knowledge before we apply to certain positions. I just recently read an article. They analyzed, you know, the young generation of how much knowledge do they think they have to possess before applying to a certain job. And for women, the result was 92%. We have to be 92% sure that we know the content which is necessary for the job. Do you know how high that percentage is for men? It's 60%. So this is the reason why I think that we, especially this organization that my distinguished friends here established, we need to encourage ladies to apply for those positions. Don't be sure that you will know 90% or 100%. You never know everything. So we have to encourage each other. And this is why I stand here in front of you today, to encourage you, your friends in various countries around the globe, to apply for significant international positions or inside in internal politics at your home states. And just to say one more thing, I told you that there are 193 member states of the United Nations, yeah, but that there are more countries on this planet. In the International Olympic Committee, there are 206 member states. Sometimes it's easier to become a member of the International Olympic Committee than a member of the United Nations. But if we take 206 as a number of states into account, that means that we do have 206 presidents, some kings and queens among us, and 206 prime ministers. That means that we have 412 people who are in charge of 8 billion people of this planet. And the problems we are facing today can only be solved with the synergy and the energies of both genders, and I do strongly believe in that. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Madam President.